Days of year when there's a mitzvah to eat, kol oichel b'tishri, anyone who eats on the ninth day, it's as if he has fasted for 2 days in a row. The Torah tells us that the fast day is on the ninth day in the evening. That's not typical for the Torah to write, to describe the calendar, a day in the calendar like that. We'd expect it to say that the fast day is on the tenth day. The fact that it says on the ninth day, Chazal learned from this pasuk, there's a mitzvah to eat, a mitzvah to prepare. There are many pirushim, but there's definitely a mitzvah. You're not allowed to fast on Erev Yom Kippur. Off limits. No fasting. Not even a tainis chaloim. It is perhaps the only day a year when you're literally not allowed to fast. Every day a year you can find an excuse to fast. Always, even Shabbos, for sure you can fast on Shabbos. Tainis chaloim. You always can find an excuse to fast. The only day of the year that you must eat, there's a mitzvah to eat, is not Purim, Erev Yom Kippur. There's a question, is there a mitzvah to eat at night, the night before? Not so simple. Some say yes, some say night, but certainly in the morning is a time to eat, to prepare for the fast. Of course, don't overdo it. Person has to daven, be able to daven well. There's a minhag not to eat meat. Not everyone knows this, especially if at least for the Mesudas Mafsekes. Purim is not supposed to have meat for the Mesudas Mafsekes. Supposed to only have chicken, poultry, not meat, because meat, either with Kabbalistic reasons, meat represents harshness, din, or because it's not good for the fast.
What about the
kreplach? What? Kreplach. Yeah. Okay, there are 4 days, 3 days a year when you have kreplach. You have kreplach whenever you get hit, right? Whenever you clap. Whenever you clap on Purim, you clap Haman. Hashan Rabbah, you clap to Hashanis, and on Erev Yom Kippur, they clap you. After Mincha, there's a minhag you don't see done any now in our community, but there used to be a minhag that on Erev Yom Kippur, you get Malkos. You lie there on the floor, and the Gabbai takes out a whip, and he whips you. How many lashes? Some places did 39. And while he's whipping you, you say the pasuk 3 times, V'lu rachum yichaper avon v'lo yashchitz, v'ribo li yashiva po v'lo yir kochama. So there are 13 words. 13 times 3 is 39, corresponding to the 39 Malkos. Some have minhagim, whip 3 times, 4 times, and you don't whip too hard, but there is such a custom. It was done. I've never seen it done. The only thing I saw it online. I saw pictures. They show pictures every Yom Kippur by different Hasidic courts. So they show pictures of people being whipped, people lying on the floor, and the Gabbai giving them a symbolic, they bend over, a symbolic type of Malkos. Every time someone you hit is when you eat kreplach. Kreplach is kisui, it's hidden. Yom Kippur is a day of hiddenness. Yom Kippur indeed is a day, because what happened on Yom Kippur is very important. Yom Kippur is the day when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Shemaim with the Torah. And when Moshe came down from Hashem with the Torah, it was quiet. No one knew. In contrast to the way the Torah was given the first set of luchos, when Moshe brought down the first set of the first luchos, it was b'koilos uvarakim. The entire world was paying attention. Birds did not chirp. Nothing, no animal made a sound. Everyone in this world was at their desk, was paying full attention. When Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the second luchos, no one would have known. It was business as usual. It was hidden. It took place in a state of hiddenness. The most significant thing in the world was happening, and yet no one knew a thing. No one. That's a marshal for what Yom Kippur is all about. The most significant, Gesundheit, the most significant thing in the world is happening. Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forgiving Klal Yisrael, is giving Selicha u'mechila for Klal Yisrael, is handing out life. And who would know? It's a work day. The stock market is open. The goyim are running around. It's business as usual. Who would know? The gardeners are doing people's lawns. The garbage sanitation. They're coming down the block. I walk to Chaim Berlin. So normally I go early. So I don't see too many people normally. But when I go on Yom Tif. And I go on Yom Tif, and on Shabbos, it's also quiet. Even if I even dive at 9 o'clock, it's quiet. But in Yom Tif, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, so davening is 8 o'clock, quarter to 8. So I go like, well, 7:30, 7 if I'm lucky, 7:15. And I always pass Edward R. Murrow. And all, they're all out there in full force. All of the high school students, all of the students. And it's crowded. I have to sometimes... What? There is.
Catholic schools have schools. You know,
religious schools... Okay, I'm making a mistake then. You're correct. Sukkot, you're correct. I'm making a mistake. I'm thinking about Sukkot, Pesach and Shavuos. Okay, you're right. I'm making a mistake. Yom Rosh, Yom Kippur. Okay, correct. But what I'm just trying to point out is, who would even imagine? It's business as usual. The whole world... They're going about their daily activities, and on this day,
they're not doing anything wrong.
They're not doing anything wrong. But yet the world doesn't realize. But on this day, the Ribbono Shel Olam is granting Klal Yisrael Selicha u'mechila. He's handing out on a silver platter life itself, and no one would even know. Just like when Hashem gave Klal Yisrael the Torah, the Luchos Shniyos were brought down from heaven on Yom HaKippurim, the most significant thing in the world, who would know? It's a day of concealment. The Anochi Haster Aster Panai Bayoim Habu. Hashem is giving us a gift, and He's giving it to us in a state of concealment. Bracha Ein HaBracha Mitzuya Ella B'Dovar Hasomoy Min Ha'ayim. Bracha is always at its best when it's not shown, when it's concealed, when it's not flaunted, when other people are not made to get jealous. That is what Yom HaKippurim is all about. It's a day of hester panim. It's a day of hiddenness. And thus, the minig is on Erev Yom HaKippurim, we eat kreplach. I don't know if you eat kreplach, but it's the whole eating of a kreplach is hiddenness. Hester panim. Who would know that inside of this crust, inside of this dough, lies something very delicious and very special? Okay, let's go further. So again, it's a day to eat, a day to celebrate. It's a day of simcha, to rejoice that Hashem is giving Klal Yisrael the next day selicha u'mechila. For the Suda HaMafsekis, there are certain things that a person should not eat that will be detrimental to his fast. And there's a minig not to eat meat. If by mistake your wife prepares meat, don't say a word. Eat it. Eat it and don't say anything. That's the halacha. You're not supposed to, after a person so kind and good to you and prepares a delicious meal, you're allowed to eat it. There's no harm done in eating meat on Erev Yom Kippur. I once went, was a guest at someone's home for a meal on Erev Yom HaKippurim, and they served meat. And there were Talmidei Chachamim there, and no one said a word. And I asked them after Yom Kippur, how come they serve meat? It's the custom. So he says, no, it was a mistake. But I'm not going to go chas v'sholom and insult anyone on Erev Yom HaKippurim. I ate it. There are worse things you can do in Erev Yom HaKippurim than insulting the person who spent the whole morning preparing for you a delicious meal. It's not the end of the world if you're a guest and the person does not know and they serve meat. It's okay to eat it and just be quiet. Next, halacha kaparis. We discussed that last week, to do kaparis. The ikar minhag that appears is to do kaparis erev Yom Kippur, early in the morning before alois hashachar. Once it's alois hashachar, it's not proper to do kaparis. You're supposed to daven. Davening has kedima over doing kaparis. Kaparis was meant to be done before Alois HaShachar Erev Yom Kippur. That's not practical for many people, so you can do it after davening is over, later, or you can do it during the week. Okay, we discussed last week the inyan of using the minog of using birds, of animals, fish, kesef. Today it's popular to use money, and there's a lot of hisnagdus. We discussed the Darki Hamari, so that was a discussion we had last week about kaparis, those who do minig of kaparis, those that do not observe the minig of kaparis today, to do kaparis with money, to use chickens, what it's all about. That's another topic of discussion, but the primary zman to do it is Erev Yom HaKippurim. If it's not practical to do Erev Yom HaKippurim, you can do it before or during the week of Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. And if for whatever reason your person was not able to, does have the custom to do kaparis, and forgot or wasn't able to do it Erev Yom HaKippurim, you can do it after Yom Kippur. You can do it, you don't lose out. You can do it after Yom Kippur. Some, in fact, had the meaning to do it bedavka on Hoshana Rabbah. Okay, it's like Tashlich. Tashlich lechatchila is done on Rosh Hashanah, on the first day Rosh Hashanah. If you can't do it in Rosh Hashanah, you can do the entire Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. In fact, some do it today. Some of the cost to do it on the Yom Gimel Midos Sarachamim today to do Tashlich. Some no, some do it. They don't have time. They do it Hashanah Rabbah. They do it. You can even do it until Chanukah. Some hold. You can even do Tashlich until Chanukah. But whatever it is, these are minhagim. That was time. There's a minute to be mefayis chaveri. If any person has any issue with his friend, it's a tremendous suchus to be mefayis your friend. No one should enter into Yom Kippur with having any complaints against their chaver. I remember when I was in high school, my 11th grade Rebbe would tell me, he would tell us that his mother told him. He remembers on Yom Kippur, there were two people that were at each other's throats the entire year. Two real enemies. And they would fight. And Erev Yom Kippur, during Tefillah Zaka, you would hear from one side of the shul, Moichel? One of them would scream out, Moichel?
That was his name?
No, he would scream out, and the other guy would say, Mochel. Moichel? And the other one would say, Mochel.
The third guy would say,
Kol Nidrei. Okay? Then every year they repeat itself. Rabbi, sorry. Then, fast forward 25 hours later, Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim, Yiskadal v'Yiskadash, Damiron b'Olama v'Imru Amen. We close the earth. You Russia! And the fight, they did not leave shul until they already
had a good fight.
So, this was... What does that mean?
Back to the old.
Okay. But in any event, there is a minog to be mafayis chaveroi, and the Musa Haskell is, there's a minog when you begin Kol Nidre. You know, I don't know if you see this still, but I think one of the old timers did this minog. I'm sure people do it today, but I'm not really able to see it, is the minog is when they take out the Sifrei Torah for Kol Nidre, everyone comes up to the Sefer Torah and kisses the Sefer Torah. Do they do that in your shul?
They walk around.
They walk around and people come and they kiss the Sefer Torah. So today, I can't imagine people get too emotional when they kiss the Sefer Torah. But the way that it's described in some of these Sfarim is it was a very emotional scene. Erev Yom Kippur, before Kol Nidre, when they took out the Sefer Torah, people lined up to embrace and kiss the Sefer Torah. And what were they doing? Being mefayis, pacifying the Sefer Torah. And they were saying to the Sefer Torah, we've sinned against you. The Sefer Torah was is like the representative of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You would hug it, you would kiss it, and you would really, basically, ask Mechila, please forgive me. I have not been good to you. I have not obeyed what's written in the Sefer Torah. I have not obeyed your sanctity. I'm guilty. You'll be mefayes to Sefer Torah. The Farshim, they tell us, the Gemara says, Kama tipshe babloi, the Babylonians are fools. Why? They stand for the Sefer Torah, but they don't stand for a Talmidei Chacham. When a Talmud Chacham walks into the room, they remain sitting. When the Sefer Torah is, the Sefer Torah, Aron HaKodesh is open, everyone gets up. You should have more respect for the Sefer Torah, for Talmidei Chachamim, than for the Sefer Torah. A Talmud Chacham is a living Sefer Torah. So I read this year a very beautiful insight into this. And that the insight is, what's the foolishness? Yes, I just wanted. I told you the Pashab Shah, the foolishness of standing for the Sefer Torah, not standing for Talmidei Chachamim, is that is that a Talmud Chacham is a living Sefer Torah. There's another idea, and that is, who gave the Sefer Torah sanctity? If a person sits down and just writes the Sefer Torah, takes out a tikkun, takes out a quill, and writes a Sefer Torah, is the Sefer Torah kosher? Does it have any Kedusha? No, it has no Kedusha. In order for the Sefer Torah to have Kedusha, you have to say, L'shem Kedushas Sefer Torah. The parchment has to be made L'shma, the ink has to be prepared L'shma. Everything about the Sefer Torah has to be done in a state of sanctity. Before you write Hashem's name in the Sefer Torah, the Sefer must go to the mikvah. Who gave the Sefer Torah sanctity? People, human beings. Talmidei Chachamim who wrote the Sefer Torah. So, Kama Tipshoi Babylon. Look how foolish the Babylonians were. They would stand for the Sefer Torah, but they would not stand for the Talmidei Chachamim who gave it sanctity. The sanctity of the Sefer Torah is only derived from the people who invested Kedusha into the Sefer Torah. Doesn't that mean that the Talmidei Chacham are at least just as great as the Sefer Torah? Forget about their Torah knowledge. Forget about the fact that they're the embodiment of Torah, a living Sefer Torah. They're the ones who gave it Kedusha. They're the ones who say, L'shem Kedusha Sefer Torah, who gave it the status of Kedusha. So they certainly have Kedusha. So stand for their Kedusha. Forget about their knowledge, their age, their beauty, whatever you want to stand for. They gave it Kedusha. It's a logical concept. It's the same thing when it comes to Pius. Imagine the scene that you read about in these books, about history books, and that in the Old Shtetlach. They take out the Sefer Torah for Kol Nidre, and everyone in the shul lines up, embraces the Sefer Torah to be mifayis. That's the words. That's the words that Chazal use. The reason why you kiss the Sefer Torah, when they take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron, Erev Yom Kippur, before Kol Nidre, is to appease, to be mefayes the Sefer Torah, and to declare your guilt, and say to the Sefer Torah, Chotosi, I did not obey. If you mefayes the Sefer Torah, al achas kama v'kama, is it your duty to be mefayes the people in the Beis HaKnesses, who created an environment where there can be Sefer Torah present? Well, how could it be you hug the Sefer and you kiss the Sefer, be mefayis, forgive me? Hashem has much more nachas if you'll hug your neighbor and be mefayis him for the lack of their cheretz and respect.
Is this the only time that we take out a Sefer Torah and not the lame in it?
Very good point. You're saying a fascinating point, because there's a very but that's already a minig. That's already a shanis. Already more minig neviim. That's already more significant. That's a very kabbalah. Direct kabbalah. So that's a more powerful law.
So hakafas
you should know is the hakdama to the laning.
Shanis also you're going to lane right there.
No, but you put it back inside. Okay, but hakafas. Hakafas is saying, because Hakafas is really probably the introduction to laning. We make a whole ceremony out of it. Right. But you're saying it also.
There's no laning at night.
Right. You're saying something very, I never thought about that. It's not that we take for granted, oh, you take out a sin whenever you want. Like unfortunately, we're very, very lax in the sanctity of the Torah in just taking it out of the Aron HaKodesh whenever we feel, wherever we want. And you're not really not allowed to do that. And it's a chiddush that we take out the Sefer Tifrei Torah, and we allow for Kol Nidre. It's a very good point you're making. I don't know. I really don't know. Okay, but that's what we do, and it's a very holy moment. It's a very holy moment. That moment when they open up the Aron and they take out the Sefer Torah, and everyone should go over to the Sefer Torah to kiss the Sefer Torah. And in essence, what you're doing is you're being mevakesh mechila from your indiscretion towards that Sefer Torah. That's the purpose of taking out the Sefer Torah. How many do you take out? Every shul has a different minhag. Simply, you're only really supposed to take out two Sefer Torah. Some shuls take out three. Some shuls take them all out. Every single Sefer Torah that's in the Aron, they take out. That's a minhag that's done in many shuls. They take them all out. but it's brought down in the old Sfarim that it's not really proper to take out more than two. Okay, everyone has their own minhag. Every shul follows their own minhag. Kol Nidre is basically Hataras Nedarim. We already have done Kol Nidre. We're Mezores. When you say Kol Nidre Erev Rosh Hashanah, the reason why many learn that we'll do Kol Nidre Erev Rosh Hashanah is we don't want to wait for Yom Kippur. What? Hataras Nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah is because we don't want to wait. We don't want to wait. We're afraid that we may come late to shul or whatever it is. So we do it in advance privately. We do Ataras Nedarim. Ataras Nedarim and Kol Nidre is really one and the same. Someone explained that's why women don't do Ataras Nedarim. They rely upon Kol Nidre. Okay? But let's say women do not come to shul and they don't come for Kol Nidre. Not every woman comes to shul Kol Nidre. Have little children or whatever the situation is. Doesn't matter. The tzibur does it for them. You do it in a public fashion where the shatz, he says Kol Nidre, he's doing it for the whole community whether they're present or not. But the Kol Nidre is a very powerful idea. Kol Nidre basically is you are annulling the koyach hadibur. What makes man unique is his ability to communicate. A man is a creature of communication, a sophisticated form of communication. Creation of man was done with the words of dibur. Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. Hashem blew the life, the breath of life, into the nostrils of man. Vayehi ha'adam lenefesh chaya. The result was man was a living creature, and the Targum Unkel says leruach memalala. The life of man was expressed in the form and the fact that he was a speaking creature. So when a person is mezalzel, is not careful, he corrupts his gift of speech. That requires rectification before we come into the Yom Hadin, and that is why we make such a big deal about Kol Nidre. It's one of the only nigunim that's universal. All the various nigunim that we sing, every shul, every community has a different nusach. Kol Nidre appears to be universal. The entire Klal Yisrael sings the same melody for Kol Nidre, almost exactly. There's almost no deviation. When it comes to all the other melodies, every single part of davening, they're different. Even Aleinu. Not every shul does Aleinu the same way. There are different versions of Aleinu. But Kol Nidre, obviously, there's something very special about it. More than meets the eye.
They even have recordings of Goyim singing Kol
Nidre. It's a very powerful event. Very powerful. It's a very powerful moment. Okay, so there's an Indian to be Mephias. Yes, Mechila, some people go to a cemetery, Erev Yom Kippur, to be Mephias, the dead. Going to a cemetery, you have to take 10 people to be Mephias, the person among the living. Okay, now, going another minute, Erev Yom Kippur, is to go to Mikvah. He writes here, Mitzvah Litbol to Shulchanoch, Mitzvah Litbol be Erev Yom HaKippurim. It's the only day a year when a person has a strong, not absolute requirement, but it's a strong requirement. I don't know if it's not a requirement. Not everyone can go, but if a person can only go to mikvah one day a year, a man, it's Erev Yom Kippur, not Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah is more like going for the Shalosh Regalim. It's not as significant, but Erev Yom Kippur is a very important time to go to mikvah, and the person should dip himself in the waters. Why do you go to mikvah? So there are different reasons. One is to be tahar, to be tahar from keri. Person cannot be metahar himself from tumas meis. That's impossible. We need the para aduma water. But a person can be metahar himself from tumas keri by going to mikvah. That's one reason why we go to mikvah. Another reason why we go to mikvah is a baal teshuva has an obligation to go to mikvah. Rachmanu litzlan, a person was an avarion, did averos, he has an obligation when he's choizer b'shuva to go to mikvah. Baal teshuva has an obligation at some point in time to go to mikvah. How many times does a person immerse in the mikvah? So if it's for carry, only one time is necessary. If it's to do teshuva, Mishnah Berurah says the person should be immersed three times in the mikvah. Keneged chotasi, avisi, poshati. Again, the mikvah of Erev Yom Kippur is a mikvah of doing teshuva. And doing teshuva, there are three elements of teshuva: chotasi, avisi, pashati. A person should dip himself into the mikvah three times. When is the ideal time to go to mikvah? After chatzos. That's almost an impossibility for many people. It's very, very crowded. The water is not necessarily so clean. People are very careful with their health or hygiene. People get cellulitis going to the mikveh. Be very, very careful to go to a clean mikveh. People who are not have open wounds on their feet, be very, very careful. Go to a clean mikveh. And ideally, the time to go is after Chatzos, closer to Yom Kippurim. If that's not possible, you can go an hour before Chatzos. And if that's not possible, you can go to Chatzila in the morning, the early morning, after davening, before davening, 6 o'clock, after Alois HaShachar. Is there any benefit going to mikveh the night before? It doesn't seem so, but it doesn't hurt. Person, that's the only time you can go to mikveh, the night before. Doesn't hurt going then. I don't even know if the mikvah is even open then at night. They're probably cleaning the water, they're changing the water, they're filtering the water, but whatever. But certainly in the morning, the mikvahs are all open, bright and early, Alois HaShachar, and a person can definitely, it's probably advisable for many people to go then, because at least the water is a lot cleaner at that time of the day. If it's an issue, if a person is concerned about health issues, which should not take that for granted. They do. The good mikvahs are very clean. They have a lot of chlorine. They do their best. The mikvahs that are taken care of. Okay, a person cannot go to mikvah. You can take a shower. Tisha Kabin. What is Tisha Kabin? Tisha Kabin is between 3 to 6 gallons of water. And if a person stands under the shower, I don't know how long it takes for 3 to 6 gallons of water to come out. All the poskim say that's the next best thing. The next best thing, if you can't go to mikvah, you should pour over your head tisha kabin of mayim shuvim, which is the equivalent of turning on the shower, letting the force of the water come upon you, and staying. You have to stay underneath it. You can't go from the side. You know, you have to be right underneath the head of the shower and let it come down upon you. Yeah.
Say it's about 5 minutes.
5 minutes. 5 minutes. A lot of water. A nice water bill.
A low flow.
Okay. Yeah, it all depends on the flow. You know, in New York City, they're very machped on what kind of nozzles you can have. They don't want to have too much water coming out. I had plumbing work done, and the nozzle that I bought on Amazon was illegal. What happened? I don't remember the whole story, because in New York City, that nozzle allows too much water to come out. So I don't know exactly what happened, how it was rejected, because in New York City, they didn't allow it. So then I selected was no, because they want to conserve water, so you have to know what the shear is, how it works. Okay, next halacha. The next inyan is... Okay, vidui, mincha. We daven mincha Yom Kippurim, and we say vidui at the end of mincha. Why? In case chas v'shalom a person gets sick from eating. At the sudas hamafsekas, if the food has a bad effect upon him, at least he should have said vidui. It's a very strange concept to say vidui before you eat the sudas hamafsekas, just in case that the meal that a person eats before Yom Kippur does not sit well with him, and he ends up not going to shul at night and the next day. At least he said vidui at mincha. We say vidui a total of 10 times. If you count the number of viduyim from Erev Yom Kippur through Yom Kippur, you'll come out, you'll realize, you'll count. We say vidui 10 times. 10 is a significant number to pay attention to. The vidui, that's the main avoda of Yom Kippurim, to recite vidui. Vidui should be said standing. There are very few things that must be said standing. Person can sit. If it's hard to stand, you do not need to stand for davening. Even if the Aron HaKodesh is open, technically the Sifrei Torah are in their own reshus. They're in their own domain. And technically there is no obligation to stand when the Oren HaKodesh is open. It's a minag Yisrael to stand. Don't get me wrong. It's the right thing to do. It's a sacred minig to stand when they open up the Oren HaKodesh for all of the piyutim, Avinu Malkeinu, for the entire Ne'ilah. But if a person cannot stand, there is no guilt in sitting when the Oren HaKodesh is open. Yeah?
I think only nine times.
Including Erev Yom Kippur.
Yeah, but only once you say that.
You have to make the cheshbon. You make the cheshbon. It comes out 10. It does come out 10. You do it at night twice, and during the day you do it. You have four tefillos. Five shemoneh esrei. No, but nila, you have nila. Nila say it twice. Nila. The vidui, you don't say al chet, you don't say the al chate, but that's not the ikur. The ikur is ashamu. Ashamu, boganu, the nigun, that's the ikur. 10 times. You can count them down, 10 times. That's the ikur avoida, and vidui should be said standing. So the person has to prioritize the koyach he has. What he can say standing and what he needs to sit. So obviously for the still Shemoneh Esrei, the silent Shemoneh Esrei, it's critical if you can stand for the silent Shemoneh Esrei, your own silent Shemoneh Esrei. And probably the next most important thing to say standing would be the vidui, the paragraph, just the first paragraph, Ashamu Boganu. That is a priority to say standing. Okay, next. Okay, a person with Makabel Shabbos, this Tosfos Yom HaKippur, a person has the Makabel Yom HaKippur early. The fast begins with sunset. Okay, whatever time sunset is a mitzvah de'oraisa to be moisef michol al HaKodesh. There is no shir. Every person can add whatever they want. If a person wants to start the fast day a minute early, that's also a key of the mitzvah de'oraisa. It's up to you. The fast begins with sunset. Person should start a little bit early this fast as a hiddur. Lechatchila kol nidre should be said before sunset. Not every shul is able to do that. They try, a lot of shuls, but the result usually is people are not there on time early enough, so they end up starting kol nidre after sunset. That's not ideal. Lechatchila kol nidre should begin. It can end after, it should begin before sunset. Toras Nadarim is a Maisa Bezdin. It's not necessarily the proper thing to do on Yom Tov itself. At least to begin before sunset if it can be done. All the shul schedules, they probably put it, it's a problem because women light candles, let's say 18 minutes before. And then they're going to start Kol Nidre 10 minutes after that. It's impossible to get from candle lighting to shul in 10 minutes. So obviously they're lighting candles a lot earlier. But they're going to start Kol Nidre 5 minutes before sunset. And you all know what happens. No one shows up on time. And by the time they're ready to start Kol Nidre, it's already 10 minutes after sunset. Okay, that's how it is. There's nothing you can do about it. You can start after B'dievin. You can begin Kol Nidre after sunset as well. Okay, next. How many candles do you light? Now, this is complicated. There's a minute to light, basically, besides the regular Shabbos candles. A woman makes a special bracha. Lahalik ner shel yom hakipurim. She lights candles in the regular way. There's a minhag to light, you're not going to believe me, 3 yahrzeit candles. 3. Or some have even more. What are the 3? Number one is ner sheshavas. Yom hakipurim is unique in that you're not allowed to do havara. On all of the Yom Tovim, the one malacha that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov is to fire. There is no Isser fire. Havara, you're allowed to make a fire. Make a fire. That's noila. You're not allowed to match. Midrabon, that's a muksa issue. But you're allowed to use fire, pre-existing fire, to cook. You're allowed to take a pre-existing fire, and you're allowed to use it to cook food. Havara is permissible on a regular Yom Tov, but not on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, Havara is Asur. In order to show that Yom HaKippurim is different than a regular Yom Tov, Chazal were Misakein, a person should light a fire before Yom Kippur, do not use it the entire Yom Kippur, and Motzo Yom Kippur, make a Borei Me'orei Ho'esh. The Borei Ma'ori Ho'esh we make on Matzah Yom Kippur has nothing to do with the Borei Ma'ori Ho'esh we make on the Mitzoy Shabbos. On the Mitzoy Shabbos, the reason why we make a Borei Ma'ori Ho'esh is the anniversary. It's to thank Hashem for the creation of fire. Fire was invented, Motzoi Shabbos. Adam HaRishon, Hashem inspired him to take two rocks and to rub them together to cause friction, to bring out a spark, which he ignited something combustible. An anniversary for that machshava that Hashem planted in the mind of Adam, we make every Mitzvah Shabbos a bracha, Borei Me'orei Ho'esh. But this year, Yom Kippur is not Mitzvah Shabbos. So there's absolutely no reason to make a Borei Me'orei Ho'esh after Yom Kippur to commemorate the invention of fire, because fire was not invented Mitzvah Yom HaKippurim. It was invented Mitzvah Shabbos. So why then do we make a bracha Borei Me'orei Ho'esh? The answer is because we want to show that it was forbidden to use fire on Yom HaKippurim. It was forbidden, and the way we show it was forbidden, it's not like a regular Yom Tov where you're allowed to use fire. The way we show is, we light a fire before Yom Kippur, and we go out of our way not to use it the entire Yom Kippur, and now when Yom HaKippurim is over, we pick it up. Oh, you see this fire? This fire was lit before Yom HaKippurim. It was available to us the entire Yom HaKippurim, and yet we didn't use it. We did not use this fire because Yom HaKippurim is different than a regular Yom Tov where you are allowed to use fire. L'may nafkamina, if you do not have a fire that was lit before Yom HaKippurim, then basically you should not be making a Borei Me'orei Ho'esh on Motzo Yom HaKippurim. So the person has to be very careful to make sure that he has a yahrzeit candle lit, a 24-hour candle lit before Yom HaKippurim, so that he can make the bracha Borei Me'orei Ho'esh. Now what happens if chas v'shalom a person forgot to have a what's called a ner sheshavas? Can you still make the bracha Borei Me'orei Ho'esh? It's a very big problem. It's a halachic dilemma to which there are no real good answers, and many will tell you that you don't make a bracha. You lost out. Try to go to a neighbor's home and ask them and see if they have their ner sheshavas. Other places can say that b'di'evid, what you can do is you should light a secondary fire, which basically means you light a match. You light a match, that's fire number one, and then the match, you light a candle. So the candle is a secondary fire. That is also equivalent to a ner sheshavas.
You need two flames, like a double-blown wick?
You don't need.
So you can use it actually on the yahrzeit candle itself,
yes,
instead of using
it. You don't need an avuka. See, that's a very good point. You don't need an avuka. It's not a din of an avuka. It's not a torch. Motzoi Shabbos, you have two candles together because you're commemorating fire. You have to derive benefit from fire. You need a torch. A torch, by definition, is two wicks. Two wicks come together to make a torch. But Yom HaKippurim, you're just showing that fire was off limits on Yom HaKippurim. So you do not need to put together two wicks together. Unless it's Mitzvah Shabbos. So number one, a person has to light a special yahrzeit, a special 24-hour candle in order that he has a ner sheshavas. Number two, we recite Yizkor. And it's the minhag Yisroel, whenever you say Yizkor, you have a ner neshama. How many do you need? So it appears, and maybe I'm making a mistake, they're different minhagim, that one ner neshama for each spouse. So if a person does not have parents, father and mother, you only need one ner neshama. So there's a couple, and the husband does not have parents, and the wife does not have parents. So each one lights one a separate, one for the husband, one for the wife. It could be somehow the minute just like one for both, everyone together. Plus the Ner Shavas. And then number three, the Ner, it's called the what's it called in Yiddish? The Gesundlicht. Okay, there's a minug that a person, that every male, not for women, only males, every male should light a Ner for his living neshama. What? A ner bari. Many people light this in shul. Okay, in Torah Vadas, they have a table on the front, a big table, and everyone has a candle there. They light this in shul, yeah?
With the play on words, when the Svarim write, the answer should be in the house or should be in the shul.
Yeah.
So it says, Gesund soll sein in der Heim.
In the Heim, interesting. In the house. Rabbi, safety first. Okay, safety first. That's the most important thing. If you're nervous, yards with candles being lit in the house, that don't ever forget about that. Okay, that's the most important thing. That trumps halacha. Chamira sakanta yoyser meisura. Don't ever forget that. Chamira sakanta yoyser meisura. Safety first. If you cannot fulfill that, then forget it. Then don't light any of the yardside candles. Don't do anything. But if safety is taken care of, then three. It's a field day for candle makers. Nochem Hamadi. Nochem Hamadi, the people who sell candles, 3 yard side candles. I'm not joking. That's what it says. 3, you're not supposed to make the ner Havdalah on the yard side or the ner, the Gesundlicht. The ner, what do we call it? Ner Bari? Ner Bari? The Lebedik and Ner. You're not supposed to make each one is supposed to be separate. There is the Ner Sheshavas for Havdalah. There is a candle, a yardside candle for observance of yardside. And there is a Ner Habari, 3 only for males. Women do not light this candle. Only males light this candle. Why is that so? I do not know. But it's only for men. Only men that are married. Married men. Okay? Bachurim do not light this. Only married men. The parents do not light for their children. Just the husband lights, and when the child gets married, he lights his own. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That is 3 24-hour candles.
What about light for Rina Shamba that
No, so Ner, only one yard side candle for all of the Neshama, all of the people that are observing Yiskar for. A person who's observing Yiskar for parents, and let's say other relatives, only 1 yard side candle. 1 yard side candle covers everyone. Now, what about husband and wife? There are different minhagim. Okay, some families, there's 1 yard side candle for both the relatives of the husband and the wife. In other families, the wife has 1 yard side candle for her family, and the husband has 1, but not more than that. Not more than that. The Matei Ephraim says this. Matei Ephraim, yeah? Okay. Yeah? Right, that's where it comes from. Right, that's where it comes from. But the Matei Ephraim also brings down that down. And the Matei Ephraim says 1 candle. Okay, so what about a lot? Okay. But Haman, when he complained, a lot of our Minhagei Yisrael come from Haman. Haman did us a very big favor. Really, that's unbelievable. When Haman complained to Achashverosh, he wrote up all the Minhagei Yisrael. The Jews, then they're nuts. They do this, they do this, they do this. He wrote up all the Minhagei Yisrael, and he told Achashverosh, they do these very bizarre things. On every Yom Kippur, they go and they light yardside candles. They light whatever. He says what he did. And this was preserved. And through what Haman presented Achashverosh, we know what our minhagim are. Isn't that bizarre? It's a fact. This is a fact. And it's cited very often when it comes to various minhagim. The only place that says that this is such a minhag, we know that it's an authentic minhag because it's Beferish. Haman, he wrote this. He wrote this in the Medrash. We have it in the Medrash. In the Medrash of Megillas Esther. In the Medrash of Megillas Esther, it's a long thing. It goes through all the minhagim Yisrael. It's remarkable. Remarkable, he did us this favor to preserve our minhagim. Yeah.
You have to remember which candle was
lit. You should, yes, you should, yeah.
And what if you forgot which was the next?
You got trouble. You're not supposed to do Havdalah. This seems to be a big Hakpadah. You're not supposed to do Havdalah on the Ner Sheshavas on the Yardside candle or on the Ner Shabari. So if you go and you confuse them, you're looking for trouble. Yes. Each one should be separate. We're running out of time very quickly. All right, okay, Rabbi, let's go further. Okay, if a person cannot fast, What is the procedure? It's very, very important halacha. What is the procedure for a person that cannot fast? It's very simple. A kezayis is an ounce. Okay, a kezayis, la halacha l'maisar, b'chayim noya, we rely upon b'chayim noya, it's 1 ounce. A schnapps cup. If you go out and you buy the disposable little plastic, the disposable whiskey cups that you see at every Kiddush Shabbos morning in shul, if they serve whiskey, they'll have a disposable. A disposable. If you look at, you look on the bag, on the plastic bag. Okay, everybody said, please, out of time. It's 1 ounce that it was made for Yom Kippur. Whoever made those disposable 1 ounce plastic whiskey cups invented that whiskey cup for one thing only, for Yom Kippur. What do? You get a hold of one of those. You get a hold of one of those. You can't get a hold of two of those. Now, what is the Shir Kedei Achilas Pras? Kedei Achilas Pras, if you look in any modern book today, they're going to write there 4 minutes. That's what's accepted today. 4 minutes. The Chassam Sofer, he wrote 9 minutes. You never hear about the Chassam Sofer. He like disappeared off the face of the earth. The only time the Chassam Sofer comes back to life is Yom Kippur. Okay, all the halachas of brachas, Pinchas Badner, he's like, in all the books, to go on, I search, they don't even mention the Chassam Sofer. He mamish disappeared. I don't know what happened. They forgot about him. But on Yom Kippurim, he comes back to life. L'chumra, as a chumra. In other words, we hold on Yom Kippurim only, Kedei Achilas Pras is 9 minutes. So it's very simple. You take a whiskey cup, and you take food, and you crush, you pulverize, you fashtub, I say in Yiddish, you fashtub into that whiskey cup as much food as you possibly can. Whatever you can possibly get in there, you push in there, but not above it. You take a piece of sponge cake, you can squash an average size piece of sponge cake into a whiskey cup. You could take about a half a loaf of bread, and you can push it. Half a slice of bread. Almost a half a slice of bread. You can probably, maybe a little bit less, a third of a slice of bread you can squeeze into a whiskey cup. That means you have the equivalent of 1 fluid ounce. That means you have there 1 kezias. 1 kezias. Now take another little whiskey cup and fill it up with liquid. Now the truth is you really can take 3 of those. Because a revius, when it comes to drinking, it's 3. But I don't know what the Poskim very machmir not to have more than a kezias of liquid either. They don't want you, all the modern Poskim, they're not so happy with this. So they don't let you take more than a kezias. There's a reason why. Don't have more than a kezias of liquid. Food and drink do not combine. They do not combine. They're separate worlds. So what you basically do, you have your 2 little whiskey cups, they're exactly 1 ounce, you push food, whatever you want. You can take Cheerios, pulverize it, you can take cake, you can take bread, whatever you want, you put in chicken, meat, whatever the doctor tells you have to eat, you put in there, you put into that little cup, and then the other cup you fill up to the top with liquid, whatever you want. Grape juice, water, soda, whatever you want, and you consume those 2 things over a span of 9 minutes. Or basically, let me take a step back. Don't fill it up to the top. Okay, let me go. A little bit less. Don't go to the very, very top. Go almost to the very top. Because the very top is 1 ounce. You have to eat less than kezias. So less than it, which do anything less than filling it up to the very, very top, just a little bit less than the very, very top, 2.9, 2.8, eat the entire thing, all of that, drink the entire 1 ounce of a little bit less than an ounce of liquid, and then wait 9 minutes. And after 9 minutes, you can do it again. And then wait another 9 minutes, and do it again. And you can do this the whole Yom Kippur, and you'll be full. That is a very simple technique, and a person who, under doctor's orders, is mechuyev to eat on Yom Kippurim, and he's able to eat pachus pachus mikashir. That is how all the rabbanim advise people what they should do on Yom Kippurim. You get a hold of the whiskey cups, exactly an ounce, fill it up. Okay, you want to be machan, fill up 3/4. Fill up 3/4, so you know exactly what you're holding, and consume it, and you squeeze it in. You can squeeze it in as much as you possibly can. You don't combine the air. Take a piece of sponge cake. You can squeeze it into that thing. Eat it. Wait 9 minutes. And you can also at the same time have a liquid, because food and drink do not combine, and then do it again. Yeah?
Being that the shear for liquid is rubious,
really. Yes, you really have 3 of them.
Can you fill it up to the top?
Yeah, you can. I mean, you know what, I take it back, because they say, because they don't want you to drink more than a kazayis of liquid either. Why a kazayis, not a revius of liquid? I don't know. I don't know why. Of course you make the bracha, of course. No. Make the bracha once. As long as you have kavanah, you're going to be doing this the entire day, and 72 minutes, gesundheit, do not pass from food, and 30 minutes, do not pass from liquids. The bracha expires for solids after 72 minutes. A bracha achrona expires, or bracha rishona expires for liquids after 30 minutes. From Moshe Feinstein, this is psak, 30 minutes for liquids, 72 minutes for solids. So you make one bracha, and you can go the entire day based upon that bracha for solid, if you do it every 9 minutes. Every 9 minutes. Otherwise, you should make a bar in the Fashais or Al HaMechi. You make regular brachos. You do not make Kiddush. There is no Kiddush made on Yom HaKippurim. There's no such thing as Kiddush Yom HaKippurim. But you definitely make regular brachos, and that is the procedure technique. The technique that is done. Okay, let's running out of time. So we'll just do a few other quick things. Okay. Bracha, yes. You have to have a bracha achrona. You will make only if you have it twice. You have to have at least the kazayis. So if you do this twice, 18 minutes, you do this twice over within 72 minutes, and you've had a combined shear No. I made a mistake. You do not make a bracha achrona. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. You do not. Since you did not have one kazayis within 9 minutes, you do not make a bracha acharoina. I'm sorry. Definitely not. What?
Why 9 minutes?
Because 9 minutes of chum. Really, the truth is you can do this procedure every 4 minutes. That's the truth. The truth is you can do it every 4 minutes. Because the whole year around, you're not allowed to make a bracha acharoina if you do this over a span of 4 minutes. Why does it say in all the books 9 minutes? I'm assuming because since it's Yom HaKippurim, we're scared. It's the Chumrah, the Chumrah Hadavar, and most people, there's no difference for them. Anyone who's in this league, in this parsha, of where they have to eat, and they're going to be eating in this fashion, they're not going to be eating. There are people that have to eat a regular meal. There are people that are very elderly, you can't tell them to do this. It's too difficult. They're not in a frame of mind where you can eat regular. If they're allowed to eat regular, of an elderly person, and he has to eat regular, so you don't make him crazy by telling him to do every 9 minutes. So that's not what we're discussing. We're discussing people that have to eat, but they can do this. So then the truth is, there's no difference between 4 minutes and 9 minutes. And because the Chassam Sofer said Kidei Achilas Pras is 9 minutes, even though we do not accept his numbers the whole year round, it's become the custom that on Yom HaKippurim, because of the Chomer Hadavar, it's Chorus, to eat food, we're machin on Yom HaKippurim to wait 9 minutes.
They use the 9 minute shear by how long you're allowed to take to eat the kizesim matzah on the seder.
They tell you four minutes. If you can't do it within 9 minutes, then they tell you to do it. Okay, Yom HaKippurim is over. I'm just jumping into some things because you're out of time. On Yom HaKippurim, there's mincha and ni'ila. Okay, ni'ila is unique in that the end of ni'ila, to pay attention that we have a new nusach you have in ni'ila, you do not have any part of the davening, and that is l'man yechdal ve'oishek yodeinu. Ni'ila ends off, the theme of ni'ila ends off with the idea of corruption, of extortion, of gezel. And that's very insightful, and that is that the worst avera a person can have in their hand when you end, when Yom Kippur comes to an end, is oshek. Oshek, mi oshek yodeinu, which literally means extortion. It's just a fancy way of referring to theft and all of its categories, subcategories of having in your possession something that does not belong to you. There are other people in this world, and this world is no different than kindergarten. Learn how to share your toys. Just like they teach children in kindergarten, share the toys with your other students in the class. This world is just one big sandbox. And the goal is to learn how to share your toys. If you have in your possession something that does not belong to you, that is called oshek. And the theme of Ne'il is Leman Yechdal Me Oshek Yodeinu. That we should cease, we should desist from being guilty of taking in our possession things that do not belong to us. That is the theme of Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah ends off, of course, with the Malkeinu. It's interesting that a person has to skip. All the place can say, the first thing you should skip if you're running out of time is Avinu Malkeinu. If you're running late Shachris and you want to get to Musaf right away, so what should you skip? Avinu Malkeinu. That's what it says. Interesting. Mincha, if you're running late, better skip Avinu Malkeinu at Mincha so that you can daven Ne'ilah earlier than rush through Ne'ilah. If you're running late in shul, it's a very important halach for Agaba. You're running late in shul, and you know how long Ne'ilah takes, and people are going to be very upset if you go even 1 minute over time because they're very hungry, and you're going to have to rush up the davening. You know what? Skip Avinu Malkeinu from Mincha. If Mincha is going late, you're allowed to. You're allowed to. You should skip Avinu Malkeinu. Is anyway going to say Avinu Malkeinu when it comes to the end of Ne'ilah and go right into Ne'ilah? Better daven a slower Ne'ilah than to spend 15 or 10 minutes with Avinu Malkeinu by Mincha, where you're going to say responsively each Avinu Malkeinu. You're going to sing the last one as they do in many shuls. It can take a very long, it can take 15, 20 minutes to do a good Avinu Malkeinu. And that precious time sometimes can be much better utilized during Ne'ilah instead of rushing through it. And if you find yourself in that situation, it takes a lot of guts to do this, to be a good gabbai or a rabbi that's willing to go and impress the people. But if you find yourself in this situation, which happens, not everything is under your control, this is something all the place can say that you should do this. You have to be conscious of the time and utilize the time for what is important, which part of davening is critical. After davening is over, if a person, a very good person, by mistake, he says, when Myra, a very important shaykh halacha, by mistake, he says, HaMelech HaKadosh. Instead of saying, Okel HaKadosh, you do not repeat the Shmona Esrei. How long does this dispensation go for? I really do not know. I don't think it goes more than, I think only Ma'arif. I think already the next morning by Shacharis, if you say the next Shacharis, you say HaMelech HaKadosh, I think you have to repeat the Shmona Esrei. But it's Beferish HaLocha, that Ma'arif, I guess because Ma'arif is still an extension, it's still viewed to be an extension of Yom HaKippurim. You deny you break the fast. Ma'arif is an extension of Yom HaKippurim. If you say HaMelech HaKadosh, you do not repeat the Shmona Esrei. After Ma'ariv is a very important halacha, you are allowed to drink water before Havdalah. Okay, especially people at home who are waiting for Havdalah, you're allowed to drink water before someone comes home and makes for you Havdalah. That is permitted. Havdalah, there are no besamim. There's no besamim, there's only ner sheshavas. There's no only ner sheshavas, bori ma'ori ha'esh. And the regular Havdalah, you don't say Yinei Kel Yeshuasi this year, just a regular Havdalah, and okay, that is Havdalah. It's called, the day after Yom HaKippur is called Gotz Nomen. Why is it called Gotz Nomen? Because what is a higher level? To say HaMelech HaKadosh or to say HaKel HaKadosh? So the average person will tell you HaKel HaKadosh is a higher level. HaMelech HaKadosh. HaMelech, Malchus. But the truth is no, HaMelech is not Kodesh. The Melech has no Kedusha. It's not the Shemus HaNimchakim, that She'enim Nimchakim. Hakel is Hashem's name. To say Hakel HaKodesh is sacred. When we begin the new year, it's a new year. We're not Roy, we're not deserving of saying Hakel HaKadosh, to say Hashem's name. It takes 10 days to reach a level where we are deserving to say Hashem's name. So the day after Yom Kippur is a very special day. It's now the day when now we've earned our right to say Hashem's name, Hakel HaKadosh. That's why it's called, in Chazal, it's called the day of God's Nomen, Hashem's name. The day of Hashem's name, we return to say Hashem's name. Okay, there, unfortunately, let me just tell you a little Dvar HaGadol to end off. I said, what? So, of course, a yotze. Someone has to drink a small amount. When you normally, when you make havdalah, the halal, and any kinyan havdalah, you have to have in the kais 3 ounces of wine or chamar medina, and you're supposed to drink a meloy lugma. Meloy lugma is 1.6 ounces. Okay, one is very small. Schnapps, cup and a half, and someone should drink it. But b'di'eved, as long as somebody drinks even a small amount, a teeny mashahu, you yoytze the havdalah. If no one drinks anything, it's a horror story when sometimes someone makes kiddush and no one drinks it. Nothing. Not even a mashahu, you're not yoytze. So mitzoyim akipurim, if they make havdalah in shul, someone, even a child to drink even just a small teeny amount, a child that's seichel, a child of bardas, 6 years old, should drink a small amount, certainly an adult, then you yoytze the havdalah b'di'eved. If someone will drink 1.6 ounces, then you yoytze l'chatchila. Okay, to end off, the end of the last thing, the last piyut we say, every year, it's very appropriate for a koilal, people who come every single day to learn Torah. The end of the Nusach of Ne'ilah is very appropriate. It's very fitting for them. The last piyut we say to Hashem, Ein lanu shiur rak ha-Torah hazas. Our last hope after the entire season, Elul, see it, it goes by so quickly. Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aser Simei Teshuvah, Erev Yom Kippur, you come down to Ne'ilah, and what's it all come to? Ein lanu shiur rak ha-Torah hazas. For everyone in this room, how true it is. There are 5 chosmenus at the end. Chosmenu b'sefer chayim tovim, chosmenu b'sefer gulav Yeshua, chosmenu b'sefer parnas v'chalkola, b'sefer zuchuyos, and b'sefer slichu mechila. Those 5 books are the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Chayim Toivim is Chumash Bereshis. Geulah v'Yeshua, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Shemais. Parnasa v'chalkola v'yikra. V'yikra is about Korbanos. Korbanos is Koich v'avoida, Tzvila. In the Zechus of Korbanos, Hashem sustains the world. We are Parnasa v'chalkola through the Koich of Davding. Zechuyos, Bamidbar. In Bamidbar, we are counted. Our forefathers are all counted again and again and again. What is our greatest zechus? The zechus avos. We enumerate each one of our forefathers. And the chumash devarim, Moshe was mispalel. The entire chumash devarim is one long prayer. Hashem, please forgive me for the chet, the meha meriva, so I can come into Eretz Yisrael. And we, at the end of Yom HaKippurim, at the end of the season, we say the very, very last thing we do together is we say, Hashem, chosmenu in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, v'sein chalkenu b'soira secha. If you have a chelik in Torah, if you have a connection, you got it all. You got everything. Everything is included. How true that is for such a choshev olam. Come and learn every single day to be machshiv Torah, the value to spend your precious time learning Torah, to hear the Devar Hashem. This is a tremendous zechus to be victorious on the Yom Hadin. And with that, I want to wish everyone here a gemar chasim etoiva, a gugim ben shiur, year of nachas, bracha, excellent health, success, satisfaction, pleasure. And Hashem shi yimale yimale kol mishales libchem l'toiva amen ken yiratzon.